So we are studying the values, and last week we did verse number 8 and has these values. So the values you can practice one by one, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantir, Arjavaram, and all that, Acharya, Upas. You can make a checklist and practice, and that is good. But then your mind is constantly struggling. Am I practicing this? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? And the idea of spiritual growth is to quieten the mind. Practicing these values will help to quieten the mind, and one should definitely do that. But if you need a simple shortcut, how I can get all these 9 values, and then there are more we are going to do today, there are 20 values. Oh, 20 is too hard to practice. There's one simple shortcut. Turn your mind towards Him. When you turn your mind towards God and make yourself one-pointed and serve Him and remember Him and read about Him and know about Him, it is the fastest way to get all the values. Everything comes by itself. Once you see the Lord, you feel His presence, you see the Lord's, then automatically you develop humility. You know, God is everywhere. You do not need to pretend. You do not need to show off. Non-violence, love, patience, forgiveness come spontaneously. So there are 2 methods. One, of course, one should develop positive values. But as you get closer to the truth, and God is not somebody in the temple or the church or the mosque or in Kailash or Bethlehem or Mecca, but is in my heart as love, as compassion, as kindness, once you discover the Lord's presence within, then seeing Him everywhere becomes easy and developing these values becomes much faster. That's why in meditation, you know, we go inward to feel His presence. When you are praying or when you are chanting His name or singing bhajans, if you do it with love and devotion, you feel that same closeness. So we'll move on to more values today. Maybe try to do verse number 9 and 10. So the values in the verse number 9 are listed here, and I have made some points also so that it will be easier for you all to follow, so that way otherwise sometimes the topic becomes a little confusing. So try to follow these points if you can. Verse number 9. Indriyartheshu vairagyam. Anahankara evacha. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Dukkha doshanu darshanam. We can put the fan on, please, the switch on the left. It's a little warm. Thank you. So, indriyartheshu vairagyam. Indriya means the sense organs. Artha means what the sense organs desire. That's the sense objects. Vairagyam, indifference to sense objects. I'll translate the whole verse and then we'll do each value one by one. Anahankara evacha, and anahankara, absence of ego, egoism. Janma mrityu, janma is birth, mrityu is death, jara is old age, vyadhi is sickness, and dukkha is sorrow. So in life, we find all these problems, joy, sorrow, we find sorrow, we find sickness, we find old age, birth, death. They're all sources of sorrow. Dosha anudarshanam, see the evil in that. Anudarshanam means constantly seeing. So what do we mean by indifference to sense objects? So can we be like Gandhiji's monkeys, you know, walk around with eyes closed, ears closed, see no evil, hear no evil? Can't do that. You have to live in the world, you have to deal with sense objects. The eyes have to see, the ears have to hear, the tongue has to taste. So what do they mean by indriyartheshu vairagyam? What they say is that be the same in all situations. You know, when there is a sunny day, it's a beautiful sunny day. And then when it gets cloudy and overcast, everybody's sad. The clouds have their own beauty, because if you go out in an overcast day, you'll find so much silence in the sky, because everything is so much closer. If it's raining, enjoy the rain. If it is cold, enjoy the cold. In situations, never the life is not going to be the same. And if you are insisting on one particular thing to happen or one particular way, and only this should happen, then definitely you will be disappointed. So the ability to see the life's changes and be equanimous, because how does one get attached? When the eye sees something or the tongue tastes something, also I want to taste, I want to see, I want to hear. And the more one indulges in that, the more you get attached. Oh, I want this, I want. It could be anything. It could be a food I eat, or it could be something I wear, or some music I hear, or some person I want to contact. So that leads to bondage, and that leads to sorrow. So the ability to enjoy all situations and see everything and yet remain unaffected is called Indriyartheshu Vairagyam. Now, Vairagyam is of two kinds. One is called situational detachment. That means Karana Vairagyam, that it happens all the time at death. You know, when somebody dies, then instant Vairagyam comes. As you are walking with the body to the funeral, life is so temporary. Everything is transient. We'll all be going like that. I need to shape up. I need to, we get all these, sudden change. Kya zindagi mein kya rakha hai, And then you want to become very spiritual. I want from tomorrow, I'm going to read good books. I'm going to go to Swamiji's lectures. And I'm going to, so that vairagya doesn't last very long. You go to the funeral on Saturday. Maybe Sunday, you're a little bit depressed. By the time you go to Monday, you go to work. When the dollars and cents are coming into your, in your shop, then immediately the vairagyam is gone. And then you are back in the world. So that is called situational vairagyam or karana vairagyam. But the better one is called vivek vairagyam, where it comes from right understanding. When I understand what is it I should be attached to and what I should not be attached to. So that kind of detachment, when it comes from the right understanding, is that. But if you get attached with the wrong understanding, that by possessing this, I'll become happy. And generally, it comes out of incompleteness, because of this particular object is making me happy. Without it, I am unhappy. Life is not worth living without this car, without this wife, without this girl, without this house, without this money, without this job. So whatever it is that is making me complete, when I don't have it, I get unhappy. When I have it, I want more and more. Especially money is something that we get so attached to. So the more and more I want, it leads to bondage. So how do we relieve ourselves of this bondage? They say by spiritual sadhana. By realizing that my goal of life is that. Goal of life is the Lord. And whatever I am doing, everything should be a stepping stone to that goal. Every activity of mine. So as you get more and more attached to the Lord, as you get more and more attached to that higher, automatically your desire for worldly things goes down. If somebody invites you to a party on Friday, you're happy. Somebody didn't invite, I become so unhappy. She's having this party, everybody else is invited, I am not. If you have the vairagyam, you say, that's good. I don't have to waste my Friday evening, just talking and laughing and all that. Let me stay home and, remember the Lord, or let me do my sadhana. So the more you do the spiritual sadhana, the more you evolve spiritually, the vairagyam increases. So that's what they say, indriyartheshu vairagyam. Anahankar, absence of egoism or absence of ego. This is a very, very important subject, and ego is such a tricky thing. It can crop up anytime, anywhere. Even great yogis or even people on the spiritual path can get a subtle ego. You know, I am more spiritual than others. I am better than thou. You know, and of course, in the world, of course, it happens all the time. You know, I am more beautiful, or I have more money, or I have more power, or I am more successful. But one has to remember that, if I'm proud of my beauty, I didn't get that beauty. I didn't create it. The Lord gave it to me, or my parents gave it to me. My possessions, again, even if I'm working, but there are so many other people who are helping me in my work, if I have a factory, or if I have a business, or if I have a store. If I'm working somewhere, there's an employer who is employing me. So there are so many factors that come into this, my progress. But we always say, you know who I am? I constantly. Constant attachment to the, and it comes from attachment to the body, that I am this body and I am the doer. The moment the I am the doer comes, then I am the enjoyer also comes. So doership is accompanied by enjoyership. So if I am doing, then I am enjoying, then I am getting the results. And so if I get conducive results, I become happy. If I get unconducive results, I become unhappy. So one has to constantly remember that the Lord is there who is working, and everything that I have, all my abilities, everything that I, all my possessions are a gift from the Lord. One has to become a humble instrument rather than develop the ego. I was thinking about myself. You know, now we have this class. Now suppose, actually I was talking to a friend and we were discussing, and suppose tomorrow there are 100 people show up. So he asked me, will you get happy? I said, yeah, you know, from 30, 100, yeah, that, then we'll have to move in the main hall. Okay, suppose zero show up, nobody shows up on Sunday, you prepare and go, will you be unhappy? I said, yeah. So then that ego comes in there. Why? Because I'm doing so. If more people are coming, and I can justify it by saying, you know, more people are benefiting, it's not my ego. But that subtle ego is very, very powerful, and one has to be very alert that am I doing this for increasing my ego, that my feeling that I am, you know, talking to so many. The best way to remove this ego, I was thinking about it, is to develop the attitude of a plate. You know, plate we all use in our dinner. Now in a restaurant, the plate, you know, the food is served on the plate. The restaurant owner makes the food. The plate has nothing to do with it. And the person enjoying the food, again, the plate has no role in it. If the person enjoys the food and 100 people come to the restaurant, the owner, you know, gets the credit. The plate gets no credit. If the people don't like the food and zero people show up in the restaurant, the plate is still the same. Only thing plate can do is make itself clean and shiny. The plate says, I'll become clean and shiny so that I present the food well. Similarly, when I'm doing any activity, maybe even this talking, the Lord is the one whose knowledge, who is the source of this knowledge, and Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda is the one translating. My role should be like a plate. I make myself clean and shiny, do my best. But then whether you enjoy or you don't enjoy, I don't claim any credit for that. If you enjoy, that's good. It's the Lord's knowledge. It's His Bhagavad Gita. It's so nice. Everybody is enjoying. And if you don't enjoy and stop coming, I should first of all look within myself. Maybe I'm not doing a good enough job. But if I find that I have made myself clean and shiny and I have done my best, and then people are not coming, maybe it's not their prarabdha. Maybe, you know, they're not ready for the path of knowledge. Maybe they need the path of devotion or bhakti, or maybe they need the path of karma. So in every activity, one can make oneself a plate. It can be in bringing up children. You know, you say, I gave birth to these children. I taught them. I educated them. I paid for their education. Then I comes. And if the child becomes successful, see, I did such a great job. You know, my son is going to this good college and everybody's praising. And if the son doesn't do very good and, you know, doesn't study much and, you know, just roaming around, and then I feel I didn't do a good enough job. So then your ego came in. The attitude should be, Lord, you are the one who created the son, the child. I'm just a plate. Through me, the child appeared on this earth. And I do my best from my side to provide the best of education, best of resources, best of it. But then how the child comes out and how the child becomes at the end is not my doing. It is you, Lord, and it is his prarabdha, it is his vasanas. And in every activity, if I'm successful in some work, if I'm doing a very good job, and I become very arrogant, I become proud, but one should always remember, I am the plate. I am not the doer of it. You are doing it, Lord, and the results are yours. So that constant feeling of the Lord's presence and reducing one's sense of doership is very important. Otherwise, ego can bite anybody at any time. Even great Mahatmas, even great, you know, teachers sometimes are hurt by this. So what, again, it does not mean that you say, I'm worthless, I'm totally useless, I'm not good for anything. Because that also is ego, saying that I am no good, I am worthless, I am, you know, useless. No, we are not saying that. That is a negative ego. I am the worst person on this earth. I am the most miserable. I am suffering so much. Why is God punishing me? That also is ego, but that is a negative ego, where I am the most, there is nobody more miserable than I am. And when any, like I was reading somewhere, you know, her husband got diagnosed with cancer. So instead of going and cheering him up, people go and start telling stories about their cancer or their neighbor who died of cancer and how miserable, how much he suffered and how bad chemotherapy. So that is a negative ego, that I am more miserable than anybody else. So the idea should be, I am the Lord's servant. I am his plate. He has placed me on this earth to do his work. And I'm fine where I am. So ego can be positive or ego can be negative. Even a sense of that I am worthless is also an ego. And nowhere it is said that a spiritual seeker should become a doormat. I think last week somebody brought it up. You are not here as a doormat that people, I think you mentioned that last time, that people should walk all over you. I should be firm in my beliefs. I should be firm in my ideas. You look at all these great saints and sages. They were so firm. They had absolutely no obstacles they were able to overcome. Nobody could, the whole Roman Empire could not crush Jesus Christ. I mean, look at Mirabai, look at Tukaram, Sant Gyaneshwar. How many problems, Sant Gyaneshwar, the amount of problems he had, if you read his life, and how he, from all that, he comes out as such a great saint. I mean, the amount of his contribution to Hindu learning is unparalleled. There is very few people who have done as much work as he has. So I am firm, but I do not try to crush others and force my opinions on others. I practice my values. If somebody comes to ask, I tell them. But I do not get affected by circumstances. So we are not saying anywhere that you should be a doormat and people. If there is some injustice going on, it is my duty to resist it, to fight it if I can. But if I cannot, then I develop, like we did last time, shanti, forbearance, patience, forgiveness. So when you surrender to the Lord, then your life becomes selfless service. Because then when the I is not there, the ego is not there, then that is called unselfish service. Hanumanji, as you know, did so much. You know, he helped Ramchandraji, took him to Bali, and then, you know, and then got all the monkeys to help him. And then he himself went and found Sitaji. And then he went and brought the mountain to save Lakshman. And then he fought so many demons. And he did all that for Ramchandraji. And Ramchandraji always, he says, na, Kamare Bhajan, you know, everybody will be singing your glories. And so Ramchandraji once asked Hanumanji, after all this war was over and they were back in Ayodhya and all, and they said, Ramchandraji said, all these years you have done so much for me, I have not given you anything in return. And that is true. Hanumanji never asked for anything, never expected anything. He said, whatever I have is Ramchandraji's glory. It is his courage, it is his strength, he is the one doing it. So Ramchandraji said, okay, today you ask for something. He was the lord of the universe and Hanumanji knew that. He said, ask whatever you want. And you know what Hanumanji says? All I want is more devotion for you. So give me more devotion. That's all I want. I don't need any other reward because what I have accomplished is all your glory, Lord. You are the one. I have not done anything. So where can I ask for anything? That is the ultimate. He was so powerful. He was so intelligent. He was a Brahmagyani. Hanumanji was not only very strong, but he was very intelligent. He knew all the Vedas and he knew everything. But he was the symbol of humility. Never projected himself anywhere. He said, I'm Ramchandraji's servant. That is how why he's worshipped all, you know, everywhere. Why? Because, you know, Sahasra Vadanatumaro Yasagai, Asakai Shri Pati Kanta Lagai. Thousands of people, millions of people worship him today because of his surrender and his. How do I reduce ego? Develop a burning desire for knowledge. I need to know who I am. I need to know the truth. I need to know the self. Self-knowledge is the only way to reduce the ego. I mean, outwardly you can do that by, you know, developing humility, service, unselfish. But when the desire for self-knowledge becomes strong, then is the only way, the fastest way to remove the ego. So develop the desire. I need to know who I am. I need to know who is God. And that's how you progress and reduce the ego. This is another one, beautiful one. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Doshanu, Darshanam. That's all one word. That is the beauty of Sanskrit, that they could make one word and give you so many meanings. It's all connected. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anu, Darshanam. So he says, see in life, the Lord says, that there is going to be changes, birth. And all changes are painful. Birth is painful. It's painful for the mother, it's painful for the baby. The poor kid comes out crying and screaming, you know, head being squeezed and all. It's painful. Then as you get older, you know, youth is okay. But then as you're getting older, then wrinkles are coming. Then I can't hear properly. I can't smell, I can't taste. And all changes are, why? Because of body identification. Any change that occurs becomes painful. Why? Because of body identification. Talking about body identification, there was this young boy, he was about 4 or 5 years old, and his friend was visiting his house, and parents had gone out and they were with the babysitter. So the visiting boy says, you know, I have never seen your house. You know, let me show me around. So he took him around, showed him, this is my, you know, my room, and this is the study, and this is the parents' bedroom. And then he took him to the master bedroom and the parents' bathroom. And there was this little weighing machine there. And so the other boy says, what is this? I guess he didn't, what is this? He said, don't step on it. So he said, why? Why shouldn't I step on it? He says, every time my mother steps on it, she lets out a big scream. No, it's a very dangerous machine. So that is body identification. When we gain weight, you know, we become miserable. When you lose weight, you know, without effort, if you are sick, you become miserable. So all changes in life, birth, death, old age, you know, disease, they all create sorrow. So what do we do? You know, that is inevitable, right? Whoever is born is bound to get old, is bound to get sick, and is bound to die. So what is the solution? So they say that first of all, When will you improve? You will only improve if you see that this present situation is not acceptable. If you are happy in the filthy situation or in a lousy situation, then you say, "Theek hai yaar, chalta hai, that's how it is." And if everybody is happy, then nobody tries to change, like the corruption now in India. You know, everybody says, "It's fine, that's how life is." So nobody is trying to change it. But if there are a few people who say, "No, this is not acceptable, the way the situation," or even, you know, whatever it could be, something that is happening that is not right, if you accept it, then you're never going to change. So the first thing you have to see is dosha anudarshanam. See that this situation is not acceptable. I do not want to be born or get old, sick, die. Well, how is that not going to happen? By seeing that adverse situations will always be there. There is no change in nobody's life where these adverse situations will not come. So first you have to accept the situation that it is not okay. There's a beautiful story about Leonardo da Vinci. It's a true story. I was really touched when I read this story. Leonardo da Vinci was assigned to prepare the Last Supper. You know, huge painting he made. I think it's on the ceiling. It's a huge painting, and the entire ceiling is that Last Supper, and they have Jesus on one side and his disciples. I think 12 they were. So first he was looking for models. He just didn't want to make out of that. So he's looking for a very sattvic, very spiritual, very saintly, very nice looking person whom he could model as Jesus. So he found this young man and he said, "You know, I have been given this job of making this huge painting. Will you be my model for Jesus?" He said, "Oh, I'll be, you know, honored to do that." So he stayed for several days, and, you know, Leonardo da Vinci painted him and made a very beautiful Jesus. And then that man went away. And then over the years, it took him several years to make this painting. So he made all the other disciples, 11 of them, and found different models. So after a few years, he was looking for a model for Judas. You know, Judas was the one who turned Jesus to the Romans, complained about them for a few pieces of gold. And so he's always reviled and criticized because for gold he did that, and that's how Jesus was crucified. So Judas is shown in one corner sitting and looking very evil and all that. So he's looking for an evil person to be Judas. So he's searching and searching, and he can't find the person with that right expression. And then finally he goes to the slum area, the homeless area, and then he sees one man wandering around looking very miserable, very angry, and very evil, you know, like, so he said, "Ah, this is a perfect model for Judas." So he says, "You know, you need some work?" He said, "Yeah, I have no money, I have no work." He said, "Okay, I'll give you some money, you come, I have a job for you." So he pays him, and so this man comes, and he says, "I want you to be model for Judas." So he says, okay, he was paid. And so he sits down, and as Leonardo da Vinci is painting, he starts crying, and he's crying and tears are running down. So he said, "Why are you crying? I just paid you." He said, "You know that Jesus, that is me. I was Jesus a few years ago, and then I got into drugs and into alcohol, and I became a bum, and now you are painting me as Judas." So Leonardo da Vinci was so shocked. He said, "Look at the changes in life." And that is what happens to all of us, that life will bring you adverse situations, will bring you problems, will bring you. So how do I get out of that? Again, focus on the permanent. The scriptures all tell you, the Upanishads tell you that you are not this body. This body will change. You are not this mind. You know, we have talked about that, but repeated listening, it make it sink in that I am the spirit. I am Brahman, I am that consciousness, I am this Atman, the immutable soul who is occupying this body, mind, and intellect and functioning in the world. The body will change, it will become old and will die, but that's okay. That's the nature of the body. The mind will change, the intellect will change. Sri Krishna in the second chapter, he says, this body is like a cloth. Vasamsi jinani yatha vihai navani grihnati naroparani tatha sharirani vihai jirnani navyani samyati dehi. So he says this wise person realizes that this body is a cloth I am wearing. And when the cloth becomes old, I will drop it and get a new cloth. You know, my closet is full of clothes. When one cloth is old, I just toss it and go buy a new shirt. So this body is a shirt I am wearing. And if it is comes to time to drop it, just if it comes time to drop an old torn shirt, I don't shed any tears. I say, it's okay, I give it to Salvation Army or I just throw it in the trash. So similarly, this body, when it's time comes time to give up, it could be at age 40, it could be at age 60, at age 70. I am leasing this body. See, when you lease a car, you know, you lease a car for 3 years. Now, do you spend thousands of dollars on putting all this, you know, state-of-the-art sound system and stereo and all the bumpers? And no, you say it's a lease car. You know, it's within 3 years I have to give. If you own the car, if you bought it, then you will spend all the money to fix it up because I might have it for 8 years, 10 years. Good cars last that long. But it's a lease, you know, in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. And then you say it's okay. You just take care of it. At the time of the end of the lease, you go give it and bring a new car. So this body I am leasing from him. He is the one. And I am just leasing this body. And it's a little longer time. It could be 70 years, 80 years, 100 years. When it comes time, you tell him, okay, teri body tu le le wapis. Take it. Take your body. I'm ready for a new one. And ultimately, when you focus on the permanent, and then you realize that my goal is not this physical. My goal is spiritual. And then your life becomes more harmonious. You live a life of harmony and balance and peace and calmness. Why? Because you have gone beyond even death. And look at, you know, Buddha. He died so many years ago. We still remember him. In fact, about Buddha, they used to say another way to get over this. They say that people who are more spiritual don't age. And that is very true. If you look at these saintly people, even at old age, they look so youthful. They said about Buddha that even at age 70, when he was 70, he used to walk straight and his face had no wrinkles and his face had a glow of youth. He never aged. Why? Because he was always in touch with that. But if you are getting stressful life, you know, if you have stress in your life and you have problems and then you are overindulging and not eating the right food and not sleeping well and going through doing all those things, then you age faster. So they say when you are spiritually evolved, when you are in touch with the reality, your life becomes harmonious, you accept death, and also you age gracefully. That is what they say. Even at 70 or 80, when they look aged, but they are more peaceful. Their life is more calm. And that is the benefit of the spiritual knowledge. So we have done this one. I'll take a little pause if anybody has any questions or comments. Now, here, evil is not actually, dosha means the defect. Actually, the correct translation of the word is defect rather than evil. Dosha, I mean, that means that it is defective. It's not okay. That's what we feel. So that's why evil does not mean that by getting old I'm doing something evil. No, that there is a defect or there is a fallacy or there is a fault in it.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukhbhag bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Hari Om.